Chronicles of Yarnplay. Open up to Hebrews chapter 7. You can put a little open up on the screen. And then you can where I stop in the book of Hebrews. Chapter 7.
Say that they're being inspired, so I won't hear them, but I'm presenting them as a sermon.
Shem addresses the high priest and the ceremonials as the very last person of this. Joseph did this. And I go, well, sure. And he went when he served from 18 to 36 AD is the time of this. He was the high priest under that particular time. And then during the first Jewish World War, where you become his man, the schedule, who was on the high grade after Nelson and E.D. I think the book of Hebrews of the Laws of the Rules was just years before 70 AD. I had this very short 3 years before 70 AD. What 70 AD gave highest interpretation gave the level of destroying the temple, and was that? That's the end of the Levitical Priesthood. I mean, the letter is written to the Hebrews, writing that from the present, this was not going to happen. If you listen to me, you should move on from the scriptures. That's what's going to happen. It's going to happen for you. But the fact that the Jerusalem was leveled, the temple was destroyed,
Thank you.
the strength of the man who is on you. Father, your own business, everything about you, he is able to say. This Lord, he is the ruler of salvation.
Thank you.
for effectiveness of priorities, and Christ is able to take us through each one of these phases. He's able to justify us, he's able to sanctify us, he's able to glorify us. A few verses of this Philippians text says, I am confident of this very thing, that he will begin and work in you, will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. So I have every confidence, Philippians, that the very thing that Christ is becoming in you, the work that he has begun, is able to what? He's able to perfect it. And that's exactly the word that you share in Hebrews, when we're talking about the fact that the law and the Levitical priesthood did not have the ability to perfect the believer. Christ, our high priest, has the ability to perfect us. And there is a way to perfect it, which he will do. The second verse is Romans 8:30, which says, and of these whom he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. He also justified, he also glorified. So he takes everybody through justification, sanctification, glorification, the pardon of us. And he told the Savior, he is not only capable of saving you, he is capable of sanctifying you and glorifying you. And he will do that. So, number after 8, in other words, you've got to define, and you give your life to God in this life, how you believe the word, say the word, apply the word to your life. The Holy Spirit will have to control your life. You will go over halfway through sanctification. Those that don't, those that stay in your life are still saved. But someday you will be perfected along with everyone else that's in their category of sanctification phase of salvation. So Christ, our great high priest, made intercession for us. And that's what intercession means when it talks about the intercessory way. He becomes an advocate for us. First John chapter 2, verse 1 says, my children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. That it says that he is not an advocate, but that advocate is Jesus Christ, and that Jesus Christ is the righteous. That's important. That's why the Holy Spirit has this right here. At the end, when he talks about Jesus Christ, it's important to emphasize the fact that Jesus Christ is righteous. Jesus Christ came to this world, lived a perfect life, fulfilled the law, and wrote the law in his life. He's the oldest person that has ever lived in this world. Over 100% righteous life. It is upon your righteousness that you are. An advocate is one who stands up and defends somebody else, who comes to the aid of somebody and defends them. When you say, you shall sin, you shall know, but you don't. And there is a time that exists constantly in judging you of your sin. And you know that he does that in your own life. It comes from you, it helps you. How can you be a believer, know yourself a Christian, and do what you just did to be a break? God accuses you in your righteousness. He accuses you before God the Father in heaven. Romans 12, verse 10. Now the salvation of the Father that you never heard of the authority of Christ and God. But as for the achievement of our brethren, it says, he who accuses us before our God day and night. After all, I dear man, you are no more offensive to men and women than they saw now. Well, I am very glad to be here. Sheriff, for many events, dear, you will let us know that the upper way is a saint that has permanent out of heaven. He no longer has access to heaven. And he points to the midway point in the transition period, and that's exactly where Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 falls. You're at the midway in chapter 12 of the tribulation period. The tribulation period is created by coming after Christ, preachers, or snatches up the church from the world. What's going to happen? Tribulation period is going to begin. It goes for 7 years, where it's literally hell on earth. But the aliens come in and they're taken quite exclusively here, but the restraint of the church is taken out of the way. And so, there's a little bit of love and pineapple, and that happens at the midway. And there are no aliens. The thing that really angers Satan himself is the fact that he pulls up and accuses believers. Before God the Father in heaven, he is cast out of heaven. God says, you don't want to have access to access to my heaven, because we're going to be told chapter 5 and 10, right? Where Satan comes before God, and he is accusing the devil, and asking God for permission to take the devil, so we don't have access to God in heaven. That is the way we see in the tribulation period. So he is an accuser, as it says here, though, the brother. And when he comes and when he accuses, God, before God the Father, when he accuses you and me before God, what happens to him? He says, why do you think God the Father? When someone comes and he accuses you before God the Father, trusting in me, but not their righteousness, but they're trusting in me, and my righteousness. I'm going to cover their sin. He's applying them. That's why he did. He's got to be hearing that over and over and over again. So when he accuses, we have an advocate who carries out his ministry in heaven on a daily basis. And that will never change. He is there. He has accomplished his work when on the cross Jesus uttered those great words, good words. It is finished. It is done. It is over. I've accomplished everything that needs to be accomplished for the salvation of those who have put their faith and trust in me. That's why he is now the right of the Father, because his work is accomplished. The Satan can come up with evil, and he can accuse, accuse, accuse. That's not going to get anywhere. God is not changing his mind. And Jesus Christ offers them. There is no murder that needs to be done. There is nothing that needs to be added on to what Christ said in order to guarantee our forgiveness and our salvation. But we think this says, hope is one who comes to us. Christ says he will come. Yes, whether we are these who separate him with God, who also intercedes for us. My message is going to be God. It tells us not only that we are practicing intercedes, but the fact that we Jesus will all separate us from the love of God in Christ.
Time
chapter 8, apparently, you got it from the Savior Jesus Christ and stuff. Right? Just kept us for all eternity. You follow me here, the part of my steps, the flesh picture of the cross is all my things for all my eternity. There will be any time, there will be no sin in heaven, there will be a time when you will fall up in heaven. You will be covered by in the future. The second way that he intercedes for us is by praying for us. Second, he has, when he has the Bible, high priest of the Old Testament versus Leviticus 16:13, when the high priest did, it says in verse 12, he died, for he shall take a fire pan full of coals of fire, put a body on the body of the Lord, and fill him full of fighting ground and slain incense. And put it inside the pan. He put the incense on the fire before the Lord, and the cloud of incense and the mercy seat. It is already a work of the testimony of other kind of people die. As we take a look at, again, at the tabernacle, for instance, that was being talked about, if you look at, here's the main altar right here. This is where, when you enter in right through here, you brought your temples in, you sacrificed them here, and this is as far as you went, and you went up to the rebellion. The priests were allowed to go down to that. They came over here to the river. Say they were covered in blood, sacrificed those animals before they could go to the Holy Communion, and you change clothes to water and stuff, so that was the purpose here. And they would go into the whole place. Once they got in there, you'd have a tree, or you'd have the male showbread, you'd have a candlestick, and you'd have the golden altar, which is the altar of incense. The high priest, before he went back into the Holy of Holies, this curtain back here, he would subscribe to the business, he would take the coals at the incense, and he would go past the battle. You can see that little burner. Perhaps this the picture of the mirror, here you are coming into the holy face, table of showbread, candlestick, and there he is the golden altar of incense. He would take those coals up. Take that incense, and you would go behind the veil here into the Holy of Holies, and before the covenant here, he would take that incense, he would put the coals, and the smoke, and the wood would rise up, and would cover the ark, and that would hold up. And we know from the places of Scripture this is talking about, that was a representation of the prayers that would go up on behalf of the high priest, on behalf of the people. So there was a certain of prayers that were offered up. And so, when we talk about intercession, we talk about the high priest, the priest, the high priest of Israel, of God, because of so to speak, prayers. Is doing the same thing. His intercessory ministry right now at the right hand of God the Father, he is praying. And is praying for believers. And he did first work for the cross to provide his salvation for the world. And his second work, and what he's doing right now as he ascended to heaven, is he is praying for you and me. You see what he's praying for concerning us. Well, if you look at John chapter 17, which we call the high priestly prayer of Christ when he was still living on this earth, you got an idea of it. Verse 13 says some ridiculous things that Christ is praying for concerning you and me as believers here today. Jesus said, I am in the world, and I continue to be Father. Keep them in our vision. So that's the first thing we hear that we have. The point is we can't obey. This is the name of the Father. He is the Son of the Father. On our behalf, he's asking the Father, keep them in my name. Of course, the Father is looking back at the You see how he covers them across? And so far, he keeps up. Keeps all of us seeing his way. See how he says there? But any human could have been, but that may be what medics we are. So the very necessity may be, he cries to God concerning what was in them to be unified. But the male unity of the believers. There is only been one thing in the church where the church is to be unified. You know what that was? It says that they are all together and they are all of what? Accord. After that, schisms and divisions and so on began in the church as a whole. And they were unified since that time. So you see, this is the key. Now, by the end, I'll say a little bit more about that. Six, and then he's praying about four. In fact, I was keeping them in what you have given me. I'm burned, but not in the parish, but the son of forbidden, so that the scripture will be fulfilled. Talking about this. Give you any these things I speak in the world, so that they may have the larger way, may fall in themselves. Third thing, the Christ is praying for. The believers may become a tribe. Have you heard more about that? That Christ would be praying that you would experience joy in your life. He wants you to be the Christ person. But if you understand, the Spirit of God and the presence of God, it's impossible for you to be pessimistic. Christ would be more perfectly. That gives us reason to be always optimistic. It gives us reason to be full of joy. So it gives our joy. Sin does. That's why we're in John chapter 1. First verse says, I remain such to you that so true God might be made complete or might be made full. So it is always visible. The presence is faithful to us to forgive us mercy and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if you sin, Jesus is sick. He has demanded for permission. And the Lord said, Jesus said, he prayed for her. And there's another instance of saying, demanding for permission. This is backed up from 7 chapter 1 and 2. At some point, Satan came and demanded permission from God to come here to do this to Peter. But the world he has handled, the world sanctified the church for Christ. And Satan allowed the world to come to the world. For their sakes, Satan sacrificed out that they themselves may also be sanctified in the church. So the other point is that Jesus is praying that believers are repeatedly. That's what sanctifying means. Repeatedly in the truth of the Word. The Word. He's praying that they become the Word, and they become the Word, and they become the Word, and they are sanctified, and they are made holy, because it's the Word of God who will do that to you. He's praying that they become the Word. He's praying that they become the Word, and they think about the Word, and that's the Son of the Word, and you are meditating on the Word, right? As the Son of the Son. And you're not meant to pour over your hearts and your mind into your soul. As we're familiar about this, this word change. The verse of 21, and if a man found the death of his soul, after those who believe in me through their word, and they would all be one, even as you, Father, and I be there with you, and they also may be one. And of us, so that the world believe and accept me. The next principle is, the sixth thing is, for us as the believers to be unified by Father, the Father is with Christ. Christ and the Father are inseparable, they are one. They are unified. You have to believe as the first, and the baby one. This is not supernatural. What's important. So that's not just coming out. That thing is great. You can figure out the truth of the Word of God bringing people to it. So we're unified. We need to be unified in four ways. Number one, we are the beginning. Number two, we are the purpose. Number three, we are the wills. And number four, we are the functions. And this is what his church will be today. And this is what believers will be today. That they might be unified. It becomes very difficult if we ignore the Word. If the Word is a meeting of our churches, if people are not understanding the Word of our nation, and studying it, and coming to conclusions and convictions about the Word, it's going to be very difficult for the church to be unified. That's what chapter 4, verse 1, depicting is all about telling all of speaking to the unity of faith. Faith is a body of character that's contained in the Word of God. It comes from pastor teachers teaching the Word of God. So, therefore, he is able to set the Word out for those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to be a definition for him. Just for you, the application. You have to ask yourselves, number one, how are you different? Doing that number, very great phrase, in answering every accusation thrown against you, I'm saying before the throne of God. Don't ask me, does that affect you at all? that's the issue of prayer. We have to make it to the top of Christ's dream, which is so personal. Jesus Christ is right in the text. We have a very simple accusation. I have a time because I think you never person number two. How are you different? The claim that your great act of grace is forever free. If you look at just the past of the church of the time, what people are thinks about you, about Jesus. He prays for you. Do an advance in your Christian life. I have two responses that I thought about these are often individuals be grateful. Be so thankful. And then thank again. We need to be so thankful that Christ prays for us and he irritates for us. We need to be helpful as a result of it. If you obtain my salvation, I can do nothing to keep it. Well, you can just turn around and hear the Bible says, I can thank God for the fact that he's saved me and he's ongoing. He continues to apply his righteousness to my life. And lastly, it gives me confidence. If Christ is praying for me, he's expecting my righteousness. Christ is praying for me. What I need to do with my heart is stand and apply the word and pray the Holy Spirit. Following his will all my life. Okay, we'll stop here. The words are for reference. Reference. What is going on over here?
Faith. See that
they understand
the
book directly
to Christ,
and they
both
through
a priest
and goes to Christ. Well, the Bible says that there's a real strange mixture between the Old Testament and the New Testament. They talk about going into Jesus Christ, but yet they go back. They've got their priesthood, they've got their hierarchy of both cardinals, bishops, priests, and so on. Archbishops and so on. So you've got this hierarchy that they have put together. And this is a man-made religion that they have put together. So, and as I said before, I talked about the Bible says a man of the Bible that they write on the end. Because, in the centuries, as the Pope was falling to the table, me from the chair, what they said was writing. Servanthood, a leader,
but I'm not questioning love. They say that, like, the Bahá'í is a Catholic church. It's supposed to go through the love of God, but then the way of God is
the Spirit, because the Spirit manages to be the saint, and
neighbors because God had purchased trials that are painful. If this trial neighbor happens to be shaming our the verses today, don't add him because it was so close. It's so terrible alongside us and he did not see the promise because of the powers. So I just want to
bring that up. Another interceding work of the Trinity that we talked about, the interceding work of Christ, when he does it from the hand of the Father. But at the same time that interceding work is by her, there's also the interceding work of the Holy Spirit. Where the Holy Spirit, where they come to the time where you're saying, I'm thinking about this. The Holy Spirit takes those words and he brings them before the Father and expresses them and communicates to the Father. Son of God, our great high priest, and for his name alone, in God.